buy based on your criteria. Don't worry about what the masses are doing. That's how you get in trouble, as you think about what everybody else is doing.
Welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Hello, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and excited to be here with you. Have another solo episode, and we're going to be talking about buying on pro forma versus just buying on actual numbers. And this is really about real estate, but you could also look at this about with any business. Look, if you're going to buy a business, do you buy on what the business can become, or do you buy on what the business is currently, operating at? And I think it's actually both, right? We're looking at both. We're looking at what that piece of real estate or business is currently at, and we're looking at where it can actually go. And the reason this came up is I was on LinkedIn, and one of my connections made a comment. He says, "Sorry to all my investment sales connections. I'll never understand why anyone would buy a property priced on pro forma income. If there's so much rent upside, then why hasn't the seller implemented those rents? They didn't want the additional cash flow." That was his question. "If those rents are really achievable, then as soon as the seller gets them in place, let's discuss the asking price. But until then, my offer is based on today's income and today's cap rate." Now, let's dive in. Okay. First of all, we got to answer the first part of the question. If there's so much rent upside, then why hasn't the seller implemented those rents? Well, come on now. Look, there's so many reasons why a seller didn't implement those rents. First of all, there may be a completely distressed owner, right? Like, and distress can come in a lot of different ways, but look, I mean, they bought this property. The property has been slaughtering them. Maybe they bought it. Potentially, they bought it distressed. But this property is distressed. It doesn't have the occupancy it should be. You know, the rents aren't where they should be. The maintenance issues just keep on pounding them, right? They fix a plumbing repair or two, and then more plumbing repairs come into it. And how did it get distressed? There's so many different reasons it gets distressed. It could be as simple as just, they didn't have any reserves set aside. They didn't have a good business plan set up. Maybe they bought it for too much. Maybe they were really poor at finding new residents. And so either they just didn't find residents, or they find terrible ones. They're too quick to just take anybody. All kinds of reasons it can become distressed. The next one is just a lazy owner. There's plenty of lazy owners that, you know, they've got a property, it's running, it's kicking out some cash flow, and maybe not even kicking out cash flow, but they just don't have the time and the energy. They bought this property because they heard it on late night infomercial that you got to buy real estate. So, you know, they're a busy professional. They buy a property, maybe it's out of state, and they're just like, "Hey, I don't have time for this thing." It might not be making them any money, it might be making them some money, but whatever, they just don't have time. I'm not going to deal with this. The next thing is, like, look, they can be a slumlord, and it sounds weird, but there's just people that just are slumlords, and they have this mentality of, it's just a tenant living there. You know, I don't need to make it nice. They have this mentality that, like, look, why would I fix this place up when it's just a tenant, right? You know, I think it's a terrible mentality, but it is what it is. And so they could be a slumlord. Well, guess what? It becomes a distressed property if you're a slumlord, and you maybe are making some money, but the next person's going to have to do some value add. They're going to have opportunity, but they got to get down and dirty and be able to fix those opportunities. Look, the owner's just okay with status quo. It doesn't want to take the time to renovate, implement rubs, do other soft cost saving approaches. They're fine with what's going on at the property, right? it might be a little bit of laziness or just like, hey, look, like this works for us. We're making good cash flow. We're just totally fine with it. We're going to keep on running it. Maybe the neighborhood's gentrified. They don't, no big deal. Like we're not going to worry about it. The other thing is too, is like, there might not be the money they're making cash flow, but like for them, there's just not the money that they see that they could just throw at this thing to do the renovations, to do what needs to be done to get the $400 or $500 rent pumps, to save some expenses. Like they don't have millions of dollars just sitting around, and maybe they don't have enough equity in the property to be able to do refinance. And so they just don't have that extra big CapEx money sitting around. You know, look, there was a recent seller in a market we're in that was going through a divorce, sold a ton of properties because they're going through a divorce situation. So we can have all kinds of situations, divorce situation, inherited properties situation. Kids don't want the properties. They don't want to deal with their wife or whatever. You know, and like I said, the divorce or other, you know, bad life, family life situations, health issues, all kinds of stuff. So there's so many other reasons why somebody would not want to sit there and increase the NOI or not be able to increase the NOI, and why you're just going to need to buy it by the pound, right? It just, there's just so many different reasons. So here's, let's go dive into the next part. Okay. And he said, if those rents are so achievable, you know, okay, let's just talk about the buying on pro forma. Okay, so I'll give you a perfect example. So I bought a property, and I've got tons of these examples, but it's just one that pops up into my head. I bought a 22-unit property, and this owner had owned it for, I think, like 7-8 years. He bought it in kind of more of a distressed situation, and he just didn't do much to it. He owned a construction company. He was busy doing that. And then when I came to buy it, he just was selling his construction company, wanted to retire, wanted to move down to Florida, and he wanted to spend time with his grandkids. That was his desire. He didn't want to have these properties anymore. And again, he owned these properties, but didn't really take the time to fix them up. And so I came, looked at it, and certainly looked at the numbers. Definitely saw that there was no cash flow sitting here. The NOI was, I think it was pretty much zero. If he had NOI, it was very small, because what he had going on is he had a property, it was 22 units. 9 out of the 22 units were occupied. The rest were vacant. And so I said, hey, look, I can buy this property. What did I do? I ran a pro forma. I said, well, what can I get the property up to? I went and looked at the market and said, well, everybody's sitting here at 95, 96, 98% occupancy. You know, every single property except this one in the market is super well occupied. The rents, wow, man. I mean, look at these rents in the market. You know, people are paying $800-900 for a one bedroom and studio. And what do I got? I got a bunch of one bedrooms and studios that are renting for like $400 and $500. Wow, I've got a lot of upside there. So I looked at that and said, okay, well, what does my pro forma say I could buy this property at? How can I make good money using my pro forma? And that's how I came up with my price. I said, well, I can get this property, you know, 90%+ occupied. I can bring my rents up. And this is how much it's going to cost me to remodel these units. And of course, you got to add some fluff there. Want to make sure we actually do make some money here. But, you know, we're putting together a business plan. Can we actually make this thing work? And so I went to him and I said, look, nobody's going to be able to finance this property. The banks aren't going to finance. I'm not going to go get hard money for it or bridge debt. That's too expensive. It's not going to make sense. So if you want your price, that's fine. I can give you this price. And I actually knocked his price down a little bit, but I can give you this price, but you have to finance it for me. And we came up with a creative financing solution. I bought the property. And guess what? If I listened to this person on LinkedIn that posted, why the heck would you buy on Proforma? I never would have bought that property. Here's what happened. Bought the property. I had four tenants in there that were paying me under $400 per month. Four out of the nine were paying under $400 per month. So first thing I did is remodeled the vacant units. And then the next thing, and rented those out and was getting higher than my pro forma rents. The next thing I did was approach these four people and say, hey, I'm sorry, but we've got these beautifully renovated units we'll move you into, but here's the new rents that we're going to be charging. Three of the four said yes. Wow, I can't believe we got away with paying this little in rent. Literally, that was the words of one guy. He was like, I can't believe I got away with paying this little rent for so long. I can't remember exactly, but he said, like, my rent hasn't been raised in like 15 or 18 years or something crazy like that. And so three of the four moved into new remodeled units, pro forma rents. The other person, you know, went somewhere else, but then we continued to renovate and we sold the building then a few years later and made a very nice profit. Now, had I listened to this person, that deal would not have gotten done. The only thing I would have been able to do is offer the seller $0 for his apartment building. Hey, I'll give you $0. You just give me your apartment because a guy on LinkedIn says I shouldn't buy on Proforma. I would have missed that deal. I would have missed making a very good return. I had an investor in that made a return as well. And I've done that time and time and time again. Now, are there risks? Absolutely. Absolutely, there's risks. There's risks that you can't perform on the business plan the way you think you can perform on your business plan. Certainly, there's risk. Certainly, there's the risk of you're just being too optimistic of your business plan, or you're overpaying for the property because you really want to, you know, you really want to get that property. So you're going to just pay as much as possible to get that property because the seller, you know, says it's worth it. Are you paying the seller? Are you giving the seller money? Are you rewarding them for having a crappy property? I mean, you could say that, but here's the deal. You could also say, look, I'm giving the seller what the property is worth. Like every single piece of real estate has some sort of value. Okay. Some are worth a lot more than others. But look, let's just say I'm a land developer. Okay. I'm a land developer and I'm going to build an apartment building on a piece of property. Well, guess what? The current land is making me. Well, if it's maybe it's a urban infill lot, it's making $0. This thing's vacant. It's making nothing. In fact, it's costing money because we have to pay property taxes and we maybe have some security around or whatever, but it's making nothing. It's making negative. So am I going to go to that owner of that piece of property and say, hey, Mr. Owner, look, I want to buy your property, but you got to pay me to buy it because I got to pay these property taxes? No, that's just stupid. But the person that posted on LinkedIn sure would tell you to do that, right? But I see value of that. Now, that property might be worth a ton of money if it's in a great location and it's really growing. So again, every property has inherent value. Some more than others, but this person owns a building and it's in a good location. It's got maybe it's a good looking property and it's got a lot of upside potential. So am I going to pay them for that? Absolutely. You pay them for that. I never am of the mindset of, well, they bought it for this price. I can't pay them that much more. That's ridiculous. No, it doesn't matter what they paid for. It doesn't matter. By the way, it doesn't matter. I bought that property, that 22 unit for like $450,000 or something like that. I don't care if that guy bought it for $250,000 or that guy bought it for $1.5 million. That doesn't matter to me at all. In fact, I never look at what somebody bought a property for, maybe after the fact, but I never, that doesn't go into what I'm offering on the property. I don't care because it doesn't matter what they bought it for. It doesn't matter if they're making a bunch or if they're losing a bunch. It's worth what it's worth. It's worth what it's worth at this point in time. And the same goes for a business. Look, who wants to go buy a business that has no upside? That's the same thing I look at apartments. I'm not going to buy an apartment that doesn't have any upside. So I have to base part of my business decision on what is the possible upside of the piece of property. What's the possible upside of this business? Is it there? Do I look at what currently is happening to the business? Absolutely. Look, if you're going to say, I'm going to buy a building on pro forma, and this is a, you know, newer built building, it's got market rents, you know, all that kind of stuff. Am I buying that on pro forma? No, because it's got no upside, right? The only upside is whatever happens to the market. Well, you can't buy on market upside. You know, you have to buy on forced upside that you can create. And so that to me is like the only argument against buying on pro forma. If you say, well, look, this property is in good condition, it's running the way it should be. You know, everything's just fine. And oh yeah, of course I can't buy on pro forma. I can't say that rents are going to continue to go up by 6%. And that's the only way I can. No. I mean, what's it worth today? That's it, right? But if a property has some sort of story to it, some reason that you can come in, you can grow your income, grow your net operating income, then you have to look at what is possible. And if you don't, you're doing yourself a disservice. You have to look at what your business plan is and what you can do to the property. Again, you got to be careful. It doesn't mean you just go out there willy-nilly and just start throwing offers in because, you know, you think you can be better than the owner. Like, let's do some research, make sure you can be, make sure the market's there to support it, make sure that you can actually implement your business plan. But you have to have a business plan and you have to be able to say, what can we do to make this deal work? So I very much disagree with buying based on today's cap rates. Cap rates are there as a metric, but cap rates are only there, in my opinion, as a metric for a current operating property that's doing well. If we've got any sort of opportunity and distress to that property, we definitely need to look at what can this property do? How can we, you know, how can we go in there and improve that property and do better? All right. So that's it. I'm wrapping up. Buy based on your criteria, not somebody else's. Look, don't buy based on my criteria either. If you're like, hey, I would never look at pro forma, then don't, right? Buy on your criteria. Don't buy on, you know, a guy's criteria on LinkedIn. By the way, I don't think this guy owns any real estate. I like him. He's a great guy, but I don't think he owns any real estate. So quite frankly, I don't think he has any business posting that on criteria anyway. But buy based on your criteria. Don't worry about what the masses are doing. That's how you get in trouble, as you think about what everybody else is doing and you base everything that you do based on what everybody else is doing. Take advice. Think about it. Think about how it affects you. Think about how you can prosper from that advice, but also think for yourself and decide what's best for you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you being a loyal listener. Say, I would love to have you go on to our Facebook page and subscribe, give us a thumbs up, go on to iTunes or wherever you listen and give us a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe, but your rating and review just helps us push this out to more and more people and continue to grow our audience and hopefully positively affect a ton of people out there that really need this and want this. So the other thing I've got for you is a free ebook on my website. So go on to venturedproperties.com, venturedproperties.com, and download our free ebook on real estate and on syndication. And I've got some data points in there, some really good stuff for you. So I'd love to have you take a look at that. It's free. I'm not expecting anything from it. And also, look, if you want some help in multifamily, want some help learning, growing, getting your business off the ground, I would love to talk to you about what it would look like to work with me potentially and see if that's a good fit. So you can go to coachwithdex.com and check that out. And we can definitely have a call. Thanks a lot for listening. You make it a fantastic rest of the day. I'll catch you on the next episode.